The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we do appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, still to come this hour. We're going to talk NFL Week 1 starting quarterback odds. I like that. Nice job, Kelly. Kelly has been watching Round Ball Rock for about, what do you say, 7-8 times this morning, would you say?
No, only once this morning, oh, okay. But like at least 7-8 times over the past week.
I mean, he dreamt it, he put it on his answering machine, and then he just jams on stage.
I went down, we had some people tweeting at us, Lenny Kravitz like commercials and stuff yesterday. I also went down that rabbit hole more.
Lenny Kravitz commercials?
Yeah, I still don't have an answer, though. I'm just left with more questions.
Jason Weingarten going to join us later from under a cloud of smoke. He's back from London, where he watched his Crawleytown team get to League One. I'm curious if Jason wore a coat and tie like everybody else did.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting to me. We get tweets at Beating
the Book. Definitely had nice shoes on. We know that much.
We know that. $1,500 shoes.
Might have been t-shirt and shorts, but he had $1,500 shoes on.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Scott C. I'm not even a fan of Inside the NBA the way you guys are, but I shudder to think of how bad the NBC version can be. That's a good point. Mr. Masterline, Lenny's birthday is Sunday. He's going to be 60. His second cousin is Al Roker. Oh, I didn't know Roxy Roker and Al Roker were related. Corbin. Oh, okay. Good morning, guys. Tough loss on Leila Fernandez yesterday. I'm curious, what's your opinion on hedging a bet like yesterday when you can physically see the match turning against you and you can still get plus money the other way? Do you hedge in these instances? Also, anything today in tennis? Good, sir. Okay, so this is the first thing I said to Kelly this morning. This is where it gets weird with VSiN.com/picks. So I sent him in to Bill that I had Magda Lynette last night. She won. So we actually had a bounce back win. It didn't get on VSiN.com. So we apologize for that. Sometimes there is a hiccup in there. But to your question, so I don't have, by the way, he asked, do I have any other tennis picks? So I don't anymore today. That was the only one. The Leila Fernandez thing is a great question, because she won the first set, she loses the second set, and then it was so clear that she was going to get smoked in the third set. Like, she just lost it. And to your question, there really is no blanket response, Corbin, other than sometimes yes, most of the time no, is the honest answer. Because I still think that the numbers could manifest, and so I let it, more often than not, I will let it try to do that. Sometimes it doesn't. And that was one of those yesterday, but it's a good question,
it's a great
in retrospect
question.
Because she was absolutely like a club tennis player at that point. She was just mentally done.
And we don't often talk about gut decisions and stuff like that, but those situations are kind of that, right? It's I see this going a different way than I thought it was going to. Let me buy off my position.
I mean, there are examples in tennis, and we've talked about them here on the show. Like, there was one time before we were winning on Katie Volinets, I remember when Wishnev was on with me on Wishnev Wednesdays, while we were on air, I think it was the night before, you could tell she just couldn't hit a serve over the net. And in those circumstances, you're like, oh, let me jump on this. But not generally. Jason Sparty KY says, not sure if you talked about Lenny K being the son of the lady from the old show, The Jeffersons, not Wheezy. Yes, Roxy Roker, the wife. She played the wife of Tom, their neighbor, Jesse Welch. Shout out to Wemby getting first team all D last night. Won a nice little 5-1 preflop. I still should have won the 50-1 and 6 different 10-1 defensive player of the year tickets. I had him on, though. By the way, Paul Carr also cashed. He said, because we were talking about him for DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year, he bet him first-team all-NBA defensive team, and so he cashed on that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. He's also part of Chris Felica's Bear Bets Pod over there at Fox Sports. You can follow him at NotTheWillHill on Twitter. It's Will Hill, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, man?
Boys, what's going on? Thanks for having me on. I'm a little nervous. I feel like I have a high standard to live up to. You guys during the break, you know, seeing Najad this, seeing Najad that. Kelly's fawning over the guy. I mean, I feel like I have to put on a show here.
Well, you started off strong with a strong suit, so you're doing well.
What episode of Miami Vice was that on?
Third one.
Yeah, season one, episode three. Will, do you agree with, I'm curious, first thing on the show, I was talking about the Pacers and the Celtics, and I was just talking about from a macro handicapping standpoint, understanding that the Celtics still won the game and that the Pacers lost, but that that was kind of my point from last year about the Heat, where I just feel like if you are, it's the one sport where if you're too close to it, if you're too close to the sun during the regular season, it might come back to hamper you at a rate higher than any other sport in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, of all the sports, there's no bigger gap between regular season and postseason, just because, you know, the other sports carry over. These teams are not playing the long game like they are in the NBA, and you're just, it's a different brand of basketball. It's just it is a different sport. I mean, we saw that with the Thunder, where, hey, they're top three in all these categories, top five, best defense, best offense, and they get to the playoffs, and they couldn't make a shot, couldn't get a rebound. So, yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. And look, I mean, you always talk about holding two thoughts in your head at the same time. Boston's obviously a really good team, but man, if you don't have your guard up with them at some point, I do feel like Kelly was hitting at, we hold them to this high standard, where if they don't win every game and win every game by 10 points, we're all disappointed with them. But boy, if you don't have your guard up with them, at this point, you're just, you're not paying attention, because it's hard to trust them. Now, maybe a month from now, they'll be holding up the trophy, and a lot of those questions will go to the side and say, hey, you know what? All is forgiven when you win. You know, we lose those questions about you. That's why we assumed Denver was going to get to the finish line, but kind of have to see it with them before we believe it.
Right now. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, also, it's this weird thing too. Okay, they're winning and they're what, 9-2 in the playoffs, but the level of competition is so bad where it's hard to factor in. Like, okay, I mean, these aren't really, at least in the first two rounds, the Heat without Butler and all those guys, the Cavs with nobody, those aren't really like NBA playoff teams. So, and then you throw in a couple of losses, a couple of blowout losses in there. I mean, I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, so I think the Pacers have a puncher's chance, and I absolutely think the T-Wolves would smoke them in the finals. Right now, if I had to say, okay, so how's this series going to end? What's going to be the final game tally in this Eastern Conference Finals, you would say?
If Boston in five, I would have said six yesterday probably. I just hate the fact that Indy got one. Indy won a game.
Yes,
and then
they
just
did.
Gave it back. Yeah. That always worries me. When you're the lesser team. If you're the better team, okay. You know what, long series, you can get over it. The fact that you're the underdog and, man, you had one on the road, put all the pressure in the world on Boston in game two. Now you got to go do it again. That does worry me.
Yeah, I heard some people this morning say, oh, man, Indy should have stole that game. I was like, no, Boston stole it. Like, Indy didn't steal anything. Okay, Western Conference. You have any thoughts here? T-Wolves, Mavericks.
I love over 5.5 games minus 160. I don't see anybody sweeping. I don't see anyone winning in five. To me, this is a long series. This is one where, like, middle of OKC, Dallas, I lost confidence. Minnesota, Denver, it was hard to have any confidence after the first three or four games of what you were watching and what direction it was going. This one, I'd be surprised if it's a short series. So minus 160, there's some juice there. But, how does anybody sweep or win in five here? These are very evenly matched teams. If Luka was healthy, I'd probably pick Dallas. I just don't know that he's healthy. Then you have every other night nature of this series where, I don't know, can Luka, with all the bodies Minnesota, has to throw at him, is Luka going to get worn down? Dallas does have the extra day of rest, but to me, very even teams. The fact that Minnesota does have the seventh game just feels like they have more depth. I'll kind of have a cop out here and take Minnesota in seven, but I love the over 5.5 games. Nobody's winning this in four or five, I wouldn't think.
Wow. Hearing a lot of different opinions anecdotally about the length of this series. Has anybody ever won an NBA championship at the pace that Luka Doncic plays basketball? Just point that out. It's like, oh, God.
I didn't miss. I must have missed it. Who liked the short series?
I think JVT did. Did he not?
He threw out. He wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota won this in, five or something like that. Yeah. I do think that's the. Like Will, if I told you one team won in five, who would you say wins it, though?
Minnesota, just because they have the first two at home, they could do the thing where they get the first two at home, they split, and then they close it out in five. I would think, I'm wired, I'm conditioned to believe that home court matters. But after the last series in the West, I mean, the road teams went 8-5, and really, if OKC didn't gag that game up Saturday night, and boy, they gagged that game up 100 different ways. The road teams would have gone 9-4 around two, and we're just not wired to that. Game seven at home is supposed to mean something. Home court in general is supposed to mean something. So I'm going to think these teams trade punches and play a longer series here.
Let me piggyback that wonderful question from you, Kelly Bidlin. If I told you one of these series and only one went seven, which series would it be? I think I already got the answer from you.
Yeah, this one, the West one.
See, I'm not so sure. I think I'd go the other way.
I think it's fascinating. I would say this series too, but I think it is fascinating, the different answers of What's the takeaway from last night, right? Is that the one shot Indy had?
Yeah, I don't see it that way.
Or is it, did they prove they're competitive and can stick with that team throughout this entire series? I don't know. It's going to be fascinating.
We'll see. Even if they go down 2-0, I wouldn't be surprised if it comes back 2-2. By the way, if the Pacers went up 2-1, we would have to sit here and say, oh, the series should be over. It should be over now. It's 3-0. Okay, real quick, baseball, what do you got today?
Yeah, I love Casey Detroit under 7, under 3.5, first 5. Reagan's against Scooble. That's a hell of a pitching matchup. So I'm going to play the under. I always kind of prefer the first 5 under. I don't want to get involved in extra innings or bullpens, anything like that. But I did split my bet. I did play both under. I think that'll be a 2-1, 3-2 kind of game. Scooble's been great. Scooble's the short shot here to win Cy Young. Reagan's a really good pitcher. So this is, I think, 2 o'clock Eastern start. This should be a fun pitching matchup. I did play the under here. And hopefully people listened last week, because I was on last week talking about Judge 16-1 MVP.
Yes.
In 24 hours, it was like 4-1, 5-1. So that kind of wish I'd gotten more down. Should have bet more, as they say. But yeah, that's hopefully people tail along.
Should have bet more.
See what he did that?
Get out of pro. See what you did. By the way, to your point about like not wanting to deal with like later, it feels like we have this rash of late inning comebacks. Another one last night, the Pirates were 0-589 when trailing by 4+ runs in the ninth. Yesterday, they come back and beat the Giants with O'Neill Cruz. The two hardest hit balls of the year, the one that tied the game, 121.5 miles per hour off his bat. Jeez. Brutal loss for the Giants.
Brutal.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate it, man.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill, at not the Will Hill, should have bet more. Name of the podcast. I was on the one on Sunday night.
Ah.
Will and I were like, what the hell did we just watch? Talk about the T-Wolves and the Nuggets. We'll come back. Who's starting week one in the NFL? You can make a bet on this. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a numbers game. Gil Alexander coming up. We're going to talk NFL week one starting quarterback odds. But first, here's Stormy Bonatoni with your moment of Zin.
This is your betting moment of Zin, brought to you by Zin Nicotine Pouches. Find your moment of Zin at Zin.com. Stormy Bonatoni here with VSiN, the sports betting network. Time to talk defensive rookie of the year in the NFL. While Alabama edge rusher Dallas Turner didn't end up the first defensive player off the board as expected in this year's draft, the consensus All-American is at the top of the board at 4-1 odds to bring home some rookie hardware to Minnesota. It was the Colts, actually, who swung first for defense at pick 15, taking a chance on Liatu Latu out of UCLA, who at one point had to medically retire from football, came back only to lead the FBS in sacks the last 2 years. Newly minted Eagle Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo at 11-1 was the only non-Power 5 player selected in the first round. Also 11-1, two-time All-American Jared Verse, who landed with the Rams, and rounding out the short shots, Dolphins rookie Chop Robinson at 13-1. This has been your Daily Moment of Zin. Learn more about Zin smoke-free nicotine pouches at Zin.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Can I say on air what I said off air? My favorite VSiN promo going now is Stormy going through the different sports and being like, and that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
So natural, as if the camera was not rolling. And she does it there again. It's fantastic.
Stormy, extremely talented.
Extremely talented. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mark Meltzer, Melts Vegas. In case you're looking for Gil in July. Oh, he's put up a poster of a Ja Rule, Fat Joe, Slick Rick, Dougie Fresh concert. I'd like to MC one of these, please.
Vegas. Where's that at?
It is at. Thanks for asking.
Ja Rule, come on. I'm there. I'm there in a sec.
Ja
Let's go.
Rule. Ja Rule. By the way, we get a tweet from Durbin P24. He goes, Ja Rule has to mess everything up on that card, he said.
that's so funny. He said that.
I think I was on a flight once with this guy who goes, is that Ja Rule over there? I was like, it's not Ja Rule. Matthew Mayberry. Hey, Gil, do you like the Pacers in this series? I haven't heard you mention it. He says, actually, LOL, I'm with you. I bet Pacers in 7 and Celtics in 6. Love Pacers plus 2.5 games as my best bet. I'll tell you what I have, what I feel vindicated about already. Remember how I went on the rant about how ESPN ought to do better by the Pacers?
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole run up where Stephen A's like New York stand up, then the pregame show where he's giving Spike Lee a pep talk. They're doing an arrival video, for God's sakes, with the players and then Stephen A. Then at halftime, Bob Myers is talking about how OG Anunoby could only go 4.5 minutes while the Pacers are killing the Knicks. And then down the stretch, Breen Reddick and Doris Burke eulogizing the Knicks as if they've won 4 championships. Stop it. Well, Tim Legler, do you see this? Tim Legler went on with Russillo. And he says, I've been wanting to talk about the Pacers. I can't tell you how many times. I wish we had the video of how many times I want to talk about the Pacers this year. But he said it wasn't sexy enough.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Those uncomfortable meetings in the newsroom.
Yeah. All right. This is cool.
Sorry, sorry, Legs. But good job on that three-point shooting.
1996 three-point contest champion. I'm not sure.
They
want to
screw up the year.
Greatest percentage of three-pointers in 1995. I'm not sure where that is. 95 bullets, by the way. Weber, Howard, Legler, George Mirochon. That's just George being George. What a team. Okay. NFL, who's playing quarterback week one? I love these markets.
Yeah.
Team by team. Not every team. Obviously, some teams are obvious. But teams, particularly with rookie quarterbacks, pose a betting question and might trigger a bet from you. Let's go through these one by one. These are courtesy of DraftKings. Nice job on them to post this. Broncos, Bo Nix minus 425, Jared Stidham plus 450, Zach Wilson 10-1. That's their quarterback room, Kelly. Remember, it's a room in a building. That's how NFL people talk about it now. That's their quarterback room.
That's right. Yeah.
You're not in the building or in the room. Bo Nix minus 425. I would not make a bet here because Sean Payton has staking his entire reputation on Bo Nix.
Yeah. I think priced correctly, though. Like, I don't know that I would be too much steeper than that, though. Like, I do think there is a slim chance that he doesn't start week one, but it's very slim because, as you said, he's basically staked his whole reputation.
Yeah, and
what is this team doing?
And I'm sure Sean Payton won't be arrogant about it the whole way through. I'm sure he won't be at all.
There's almost like a part of me that wants to see the Broncos succeed so I can apologize for everything I think about them right now because, oh my God, I think this franchise is going to be a disaster for the next 5-10 years.
Don't get me started. By the way, and for those people who say like Sean Payton is such a quarterback whisperer, I'm sorry, besides Drew Brees, can you give me the list?
Drew Brees.
Raiders, Gardner Minshew minus 180, Aiden O'Connell plus 130.
So there are a couple on here, by the way, that I would love to bet. This one
you would? Who would you bet?
Yeah, the Raiders just brought in Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is not starting week one for this team? After what you saw out of Aiden O'Connell last year, you're rolling it back with Aiden O'Connell week one?
I'm going to tell you the one I want to bet is the next one. The Vikings. Sam Darnold is minus 155 and J.J. McCarthy is plus 120. Now, for those who are like, well, it's got to be J.J. McCarthy. No. Apparently, the Vikings want to do everything to start Sam Darnold, barring an injury. There's even some weird buzz out there that they have this intention to play Darnold, that they would play Darnold the whole year if it went okay. But game one, I would absolutely bet the minus 155 on Darnold. Of course, injuries could crush you here. But barring an injury, I think that's the best bet on the board.
That is so glad you brought it up before we go too crazy on this because a couple of these I do really love. That's the big thing, right? Yes. Injuries occur. If you're betting this right now, it is May 22nd. There is a lot of practices, a lot of training camp to come where these guys can get injured. The Vikings have basically said this is their plan all along. Like, this is why they signed Sam Darnold, right? It was to give McCarthy the time to get ready. And I guess I'd be shocked if it really ended up taking that long before McCarthy's in there playing.
Week one, minus 155 doesn't seem like too steep a price to pay there.
They've basically told everybody this is the plan.
Sometimes you have to believe what they're telling you.
We
are going to play Sam Darnold. Okay, that's good enough for me. Minus 155. Patriots, Jacoby Brissett is minus 300, Drake May plus 225. I think that the Patriots probably want to start Jacoby Brissett week one.
I think so, too. I think this one's properly priced, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a chance. I mean, if Drake May looks incredible for some reason in training camp, why put Brissett out there? Like, you might as well just go right away with May. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's most likely Brissett starting, like you said, but...
And then the biggest favorite of all these, the Seahawks. Geno Smith is minus 600. Sam Howell, acquired from the Washington Commanders, plus 390.
Matt Brown and I disagreed on this one, I believe.
When
he was filling in, I thought this one has moved the most. I forget what it was. It was like Geno minus 250 or something.
Yeah, I was going to say Geno's a lock here.
I was
right?
Like, Geno, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't want to misquote Matt, but I believe Matt was like, well, why would they bring in Sam Howell? Like, you're bringing in Sam Howell.
But what has Geno done wrong? I mean, I get it. Why would they bring in Sam Howell? But they,
I mean, he's aging
a
bit of a step back last year, but I don't think there's any plans to move on from him immediately, at least.
Well, here's the thing about all these things. So you bring in Sam Howell, and I get the argument of why would you bring in Sam Howell? The problem with this is always, like, let's do it in, from a human perspective. So if they decided that they wanted to start Sam Howell week one, what happens if Sam Howell plays bad out of the gate?
Yeah, no, this is a great point.
Right? So it's like...
Teams screw themselves up so much with this stuff.
For them, it's a much better tact to just... If they have the intention, and clearly they have some intention with Sam Howell that they traded for him, if they have the intention to elevate him to QB1 at some point if Geno messes up, the way to play it is to start Geno at the beginning and let that happen, right?
Right, correct.
So
That's the way I would view it, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think Geno Smith. I mean,
we've seen NFL teams do stupider things,
of
right? Like
we
that
have.
Makes a lot of sense to me, Gil. But
yeah, and it's not Pete Carroll anymore, so there's that.
Right.
So basically, looking at all these Broncos, Raiders, Vikings, Patriots, Seahawks, I believe the best bet is Sam Darnold. Believe it or not, with the Vikings at -155 to
this
start with.
If this was available, I'd bet Gardner Minshew and I'd bet Sam Darnold.
Yeah. I think your confidence in Minshew is starting week one is probably correct as well. -180. Again, we cannot bet these, but these, so whenever we do stuff that is out of state and specifically at DraftKings, which we couldn't even if it was in state, we always like to say, would we actually bet these or not? This is one of these where we actually would.
Yes.
In the case of Darnold and Minshew with the Vikings and Raiders specifically. But I do think it's Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix is correct as a $4 favorite. I think Jacoby Brissett is correct as a $3 favorite in New England. And I do think Geno's correct as a $6 favorite in Seattle. Injuries, once again, can torpedo all of this. Yep. So please don't come back if somebody breaks a leg and say, hey, you were wrong.
I feel like this is one of those, like, hey, I know we complain about different markets being limited in and stuff like that. This is one you probably don't want to be betting heavily into anyways because of injuries.
That's right.
Like, we'd be betting them, but yes, I'm not going crazy.
But it's fun to talk about. Yeah, I mean, if they were posting an obvious team like the Jets, then they're just posting about an injury.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. What has it been? At least last offseason, I want to see the offseason before DraftKings has posted these. I don't remember liking bets as much as I like these two.
We definitely talked about this last summer. Yeah. I think you're right in that memory. Jason Weingarten's on the other side. All his bets. How his trip to London was. Did he wear a coat and tie? All the burning questions next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price, normally priced at $240. You can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. Who wouldn't do that? With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG like a numbers game.
That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Jason Weingarten standing by. Real quick, with those week one quarterback starts.
Yeah.
When you did them with Matt, there was a Steelers one that was up at that point?
There were a couple others I didn't include. Heavily. There were a couple others. Yeah, Steelers are up there now. I think Russell Wilson's like -1,000 or something like that. I just didn't even include him this time around. But I wanted to look at those odds because I wanted to make sure I was remembering right on Geno. Geno was -330 when Matt and I were first discussing it, so he's taking money. But then I think kind of interestingly, O'Connell and J.J. McCarthy have taken money.
Yeah. Well, if you take the Vikings at their word.
Oh, I'm sorry, not McCarthy, May. Drake May and O'Connell have taken money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess that could change with training camp. But, I mean, I'd start Jacoby Brissett, start the season too.
I would too. I mean, again, it seems like that was their plan, and they basically told everybody that's their plan. But if Drake Bay starts, I think it's because he has an incredible training camp, right? And
right.
And it's why hold this kid back.
That's
Let
right.
Go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man was just in London, England, watching Crawley Town go from League 2 to League 1. League Two champions. Pardon me. His name is Jason Weingarten. He comes to us from under a cloud of smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. That was fun trip, quick trip. But yeah, got to see Crawley play at Wembley. They're not the league champs, by the way. They I think, you know, you win the playoffs, not the same as winning the league. But
sorry,
they won the playoffs. They won the promotion, whatever.
They won promotion, the promotion. That's all that matters. They won the playoffs. They're not League Two champs. They're headed to League One nonetheless. That's right. I forgot. Different currency there. Take us through that. You flew Thursday night. And I was mentioning this on air the other day. This is how dumb I am. So I was considering going briefly because you're like, hey, you want to go to London? And then when I turned on the TV right and like Preston and Rufus are on camera and they're wearing coats and ties, it never occurred to me that we should have been wearing coats and ties. Did you wear a coat and tie?
Yeah, I was wearing a suit and tie. That you had to wear a suit and tie to sit in the box. So yeah, I was all suited up.
How?
You
had to. You're not allowed in it without a coat and tie. How about
that? Yeah, everyone was wearing suits, which is kind of unusual, but whatever.
But like, did you guys know that? Did you talk amongst yourselves about that? Because like Kelly and I are looking at each other, like, how are we supposed to know that?
Yeah, I mean, they told us before we came. Bring a dress code sort
like,
of thing.
Like, is that a team rule or just like a soccer dress code rule? You know what I mean? Like,
that's a Wembley rule, right?
Something like that. I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with team. It has to do with sitting in the royal box.
You said it also, which I think was a great line. You texted me. Can you imagine people betting against Preston Johnson? I think that sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't always smooth sailing, and there were a whole bunch of bumps, especially at the beginning. But it was really unfortunate to see the fans and the way they kind of came out against Preston, knowing Preston personally and thinking and knowing, you know, there's nobody you'd rather have be the owner of your club than this guy, the amount he cares and, you know, what he's putting into this personally. And the fans just didn't care. Now we're champions, and I don't know, what are they going to say now? There's really nothing they can say.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah, we don't live in a world where people do mea culpas very easily. That's for sure.
There have been a lot of people that have come around and have said, you know, congratulations to Preston, and but they held up banners that said they want him out. And, you know, whatever.
Get out of here. Okay. Baseball. Have you been able now to sort of gravitate back towards baseball?
Yeah, you know, I still get to bet baseball every day. I don't necessarily get to watch as much baseball every day. Not paying as much attention to the props, which has actually been probably good. And you know, seeing the way some of the first innings have gone some of these days, I've probably saved myself a lot of money.
Because you are, let me clarify that, because you are a yes, you lean yes on first inning bets. Yes, a run will be scored and a lot of scoreless first innings is what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I don't follow it day to day, but I saw there were a couple days where they were like heavily no, like, you know, 3-12 sort of days to the no. And if you bet a lot of them, that'll really ruin your week pretty quick. There's still, you know, really good spots. And, you know, there's like one I'm going to play today, but you know, just going through them and playing the whole slate has not been a thing for me the last couple of weeks. And like I said, it's probably fortunately ended up saving me money. Just, you know, avoiding probably good bets that end up losing.
Care to share which game you were thinking of betting?
Tigers, Royals. Yes. I'm going to get a really good number on that. I know it's an early game. It's like 11 a.m. on the West Coast. But if you wait, I see plus 125s right now. I'm probably easily going to go north of 135. I'll play that at 135. You know, I know it's got the good pitchers, and you know, you get a premium there. So I'll be happy to play a big number on that game. And again, if it loses, it's only one game.
Yep, and that is Scooble against Reagans, and that is the, again, with the first innings, that is what this cottage industry of no runs will be scored, or what they call nerfies. That's what that cottage industry of nerfies.
The stupidest bettors in the world is what we should call them.
I was just going to ask you, is there anything that you and I have sort of talked about through the years that you've seen sprout up that annoys you more than that?
Mm. I mean, just gambling. No, I've seen real estate Twitter sprout up. I don't really like that, but that's separate.
That's a different show. Yes, the Jason Weingarten Beyond Sports Betting Show is coming to a network near you. Okay, so that's your only bet. The first inning, Tigers Royals. The first run will be scored. Yes.
I bet Baltimore today. I got 121 on Baltimore. Kyle Gibson. I don't know why we're giving him such respect against Baltimore. Give me Baltimore there today. That's another day game. I'm happy we're finally getting some day games today.
Great day of day baseball today. Yep. Love it.
Yeah, gotta take advantage of the day games.
And you bet Rose Zhang. Before your trip to London, you like to say it was the trip that Rose Zhang built for you.
I did. It's kind of funny. It's the only lady who's won besides Nelly Korda in like the last 2 months. Rose, you know, had to beat her by like 10 shots.
Do you bet her every tournament, by the way?
Like maybe for, you know, like not the same amount, but like, yeah, I'll bet her for $100, $200 just to have some money on her. If I'm not betting it for more, but like this last week, for example, I did bet a little bit on her. I expected her to still play well after the win. She withdrew after like three holes. There were like 10 withdrawals in the first two rounds of the ladies tournament this last week. They said there was like food poisoning going around or something, but that was kind of annoying to see someone withdraw after three holes. You know, you could have just gotten sick before you teed off or something.
Yeah, that is, from a betting standpoint, that is annoying. Three holes in. It's sort of the opposite of the tennis thing that annoys you, which is, oh, look, the player I bet on is at five games of the third set. All I have is one more to win. And then the other person takes their toys and goes home and it's a refund. Okay, anything else you're betting on in the whole landscape of things?
I just bought a claw machine. You know, I'm gonna make that a gambling game. Looking for somewhere to put it.
I didn't know if you wanted to talk
like
about this.
Yes. A lobby of a 24-hour restaurant or something. Or I might fill it with like lotto tickets and cigarettes and put it in a bar or something. So I don't know what I'm gonna do with it, but
so Jason
turned it into some sort of gambling game.
Jason tells me he's buying a claw machine. To which I respond, as anyone would, wait, a claw machine from like a carnival? He goes, that's correct. So
the coolest thing you've ever said, Jason.
Oh, yeah. He said lottery.
I am so on board with this. Yeah.
What do you plan on? You said lottery tickets. Didn't you said you wanted to put like sports collectibles in there too?
Yeah, baseball cards. I think I can get some futures, throw a bunch of futures tickets in there, like $5 future tickets, maybe some Zin. I hear Zin's real popular recently. I'm going to go put it in a bar. Think about it. You're drunk at a bar. You like want a pack of cigarettes. You're going to start throwing dollars in my machine. I'm going to get rich.
They put them in casinos.
Exactly. That's where I got the idea. I saw one at Circa. I couldn't believe it.
Did you actively look for a claw machine or did it just come up on your screen?
One of my friends said we should buy a claw machine. And I looked on eBay and there was actually one someone was selling in LA. I was like $600, which is totally reasonable. And we went and got it, and that's how we got a claw machine. That's how it works.
Because that's what you and I would think, Kelly. We'd see it. We'd be $600. That's totally reasonable.
I speak for yourself. I am so on board with Jason on this. I would have done the same thing.
We can all thank Naz Reid for this investment.
Claw machine that Naz Reid built. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'll talk to you guys later.
At Spreadopedia. We'll come back. Golf next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champ, and with all the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Listen up then. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it does not hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. That's VSIN. The crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Primetime Cowboys underscore Cubs one. He said, because we were praising Stormy earlier. He says, so you're saying Stormy Monotone has done it again. Tony, by the way. See what he did there? He also asked Jason to put on a coat and tie. Buddhist man. No offense to Sia Najad, but when I heard, ladies and gentlemen, you will notice that our next guest never goes to a gym and is not well-groomed at all, I instantly thought you were introducing the manifestation of physical perfection Todd Wishnev has seen below. I don't know. Got to get Wishnev back on.
I think it took C a second to realize what that was a compliment. You were being facetious.
Oh, of course. Can we just say one thing about Jason's claw?
One thing?
Idea. First of all, this is my imitation of not the guy on the claw, but the guy directing the guy on the claw.
Right. You got to work in teams. You got to work in teams.
Okay, a little to the left. Okay, no, a little back. No, right, it's all right.
And you always ran into the duo that was super confident. Like, everybody knows somebody in their life that thinks they can beat the claw machine, like, every time.
It is a
fun. They're in casinos now.
You have a shot with stuffed animals because you can actually lay the claw into them. But as Sean McCollum, behind the scenes here, just told us, there's a random, he believes that the claw machines have a random, random generator onto how tight they squeeze on each and every squeeze.
Oh, so like if you own a claw machine, maybe that's something you can set, huh? That's what you're saying?
Jason Weingarten's finest harebrained scheme of them all.
I really would. Jason, can I please be there when you go to whatever bar or whatever to try to sell this idea? Like, can you imagine Jason walking and be like, look, I got a claw machine. I don't know what I'm going to put in there, but like, let's talk about it.
You got thoughts on the Charles Schwab, sir?
I do. Charles Schwab Challenge going on this week. Scheffler stuff, man, it's interesting. If I don't know what to make of it, this is like I would. How often in the past couple months have I said, yeah, like just like Sia did, I'm looking in the winner without market. I'm looking to go light on outrights this week. I don't know where Scheffler's head's going to be at. And this is kind of home tournament for him, Gil. So this could be cruise out of bed, going to win this thing like without having to worry about it. Below him, though. There is not a ton of guys that I am really scared about at the top of this board. Morikawa's come on lately. I do think the odds are appropriate without the weekend field for him to be at 12-1. Homa, Spieth's been good here in the past. He played terribly recently. I am on Finau. I did land on Finau last week in a top 20 play at the PGA. His irons are coming on. Led the field in approach last week. It's going to be a pro. See what ran through this, but you're off the tee, distance mitigated at a course like this, with accuracy, premium and on accuracy off the tee if you are modeling stuff at home or looking at stats. Big time approach course here, small greens and putting. One of the few tournaments, Gil, that really do factor in putting stats, because this is just historically, everybody who wins this one has a crazy, crazy big putting week. Past 5-6 years. Go look at the strokes gained putting numbers. It's insane. So I really dialed in on those three basic things. Who's going to be accurate off the tee, great on approach, putt, and has putted really well this year. Finau, outright-wise, where I landed on, Tony Finau, 30-1, got him at, look, the putter hasn't been great. This is a guy that doesn't take that out of the bag right now. But if he can have a spike putting week, the irons are back. His approach game is really strong right now. See, you said it, I was nodding my head. I love Sepp Straka. And Aaron Rye this week. I did not go with an outright on Aaron Rye. I did go Sepp Straka, though, 50-1. These are longer bombs. Absolutely, Scheffler, if he's in this tournament and his mind is right, he should be the guy that is probably winning this thing. But I took some longer shots. It's called long shots. Sepp Straka, 50-1. Thomas Dietrich, interesting case right now. This guy is putting lights out. Like, he is gaining on the field, like 4+ strokes putting in his past 6 tournaments, I believe. Out of control putting right now. Played, had a good showing at the PGA, so I do like him this week. Played an outright on him. And I'm going back to Akshay Bhatia. He's a guy I had played a few weeks ago and he had really gotten in a rhythm of playing him in some markets. Lakeman, an outright here. His game's very suited for this this course. So going back to him after a couple rough outings by him. Outright top 20 for him, for me. And we often talk about this, Gil, with tournament matchups. Tournament matchups are the best way to bet golf.
Yep.
The problem is you can't design what matchup you want to build, right? So you got to go with whatever the book gives you, which means some weeks you're going to have very few that you actually really like, and some weeks you're going to have a lot.
You guys ever talk about that on long shots, about the origin of those matchups?
Yeah, we do. And it's comical because, like, the guys that set odds run the same type of stuff that we do. So, like, there are Straka and Aaron Rye matchups out there, right? Like, versus each other, where I'm like, I have no interest in that, right? So it is funny how it always ends up that way. I can't wait till a book lets you match up with whoever custom you want and matchups. Adjust the odds appropriately to what they think. That would be a very nice addition.
Golf, the sport most ripe for a gambling revolution.
That's right. That's right. Aaron Rye, though, I love him. Last 12 rounds, 10th on good drives, which means you're either in the fairway or just off the fairway and hitting the green on approach. 4th in fairways hit, 8th on approach. His putting's getting a little bit better. Do like him. This is a Tom Hoagie course, too. Will Hill's guy. Tom Hoagie's accurate off the tee, great on approach. Loved a top 20 bet on him this week. Playing him there, didn't play an outright. And his putter's been pretty good this year. 7 top 20s for him. The one guy I can't get rid of. He's great when he's when you're looking for distance off the tee, Gil. Still keeps popping up in my numbers. Keith Mitchell, I'm just going top 40
you
this
love
week.
Love Keith Mitchell.
I love him this year for some reason. I don't know why, but even money on a top 40, I will take. He has had 7 top 20s this year, so hopefully even money pays off nice on a top 40. Matchups real quick. Finau over Minwoo Lee, Straka over Chris Kirk, Hoagie over Billy Horschel, and Keith Mitchell over Tom Kim.
I am on the Guardians once again today. First 5 full game. It's Tristan McKenzie for the Guardians. The day game. This is happening about an hour and a half after we go off here. Tristan McKenzie going up against Jose Quintana of the Mets as the Guardians looking for another sweep here. Consecutive sweeps after they swept the Twinkies. Now they're trying to sweep the Mets, and they will be on the road after this again. Part of our big, separate, but part of our big May macro bet on the Guardians as they just keep on winning, trying to get back in this. Come on, Phillies, lose a game.
Mm-hmm.
Also, French Open, for those who are like, hey, when's the French Open pod? That is tomorrow. I got to hit up Dan Westin. Drew Dinsick and I will do this. Dan Westin, hopefully.
Idea.
Yeah, I forgot. I got to hit up Dan Westin as well and see if he's available. But we'll talk about tennis's second slam tomorrow after the show, the Beating the Book podcast French Open betting special will be recorded tomorrow, so everybody can have it. That, once again, Iga Swiatek settling in as a -150 favorite on the ladies' side. And then on the men's side, it is a free-for-all. I mean, free-for-all between the likes of Carlitos Alcaraz, Novak Djokovic, Jannik Sinner, Sasha Zverev, Stefanos Tsitsipas, all of those in single digits. Alcaraz at 2-1 is the short shot. Casper Ruud is at 12-1, and Rafa, who has won 14 of these in probably his last French Open ever, 14-1. I can't get behind Rafa, sorry. As great as he's been, I think it's over. That's certainly not stepping out on a limb. Casper Ruud is a two-time finalist here in the last 2 years, even though he lost both. And then you've got Tsitsipas, who has been great this year. Sasha Zverev coming off a win in Rome on clay. Sinner's got the hip injury. We don't know where we're getting from him. Carlitos has the arm injury. We don't know where we're getting from him. I still think that it's Novak Djokovic's to lose. I really do. And I have I've got parlays with Iga anchored on the ladies' side with Carlitos, with Djokovic, and with Ruud at +450, 5-1, and 20-1, respectively.
I don't know what I'm waiting for. That's always my zigzag, I feel like. I bet Joker every year at the French.
Like, do you?
Yeah. Like every year it feels like. Just because the odds get, you know, he's always a little longer at the French Open, right, the way he is on hard courts or on grass. So, yeah, I think I'm going to be joining you. I think the Iga Novak parlay. I've got a lot of bets. Matt Brown makes fun of my list of bets to make. But like Steelers win total under.
Oh, because you have a list of bets to make.
Yes.
He finds that funny. Yes.
Yeah, he finds that funny.
I can see how he would find that funny about you. Yes.
So that will be going on the list. I got to make that bet at some point. The Iga Novak parlay.
For some reason, we don't have the Iga Casper Ruud as well, which I have up at 20-1. Okay. And then finally on basketball, we'll run back on social. We'll run back our first segment. Everything about the Pacers Celtics yesterday. You are rooting for the Mavericks to win it all. That is your future. But you also are taking the Mavericks plus the points today?
I played that parlay for them to win game one, Timberwolves to win the series, sort of a hedge, right? But I do like them in game one tonight. I really do. I think this is their best chance. I think Luka gets some time off, looks a little bit healthier here tonight. And oh boy, watch out. I think if Luka looks healthier than he did last series, we might be in for a long one, like Will said.
So not just ATS, you would recommend a sprinkle for some folks out there. Okay. We've done all we can do. On the radio side, Gojo and Golic are next. If you're watching the pretty pictures, Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.